Where's Waldo?
Yeah.
Where's Alan Bell? What? Yeah.
Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego, and where in the world is Alan Bell?
Hello, Alan.
Hi, Alan.
Gentlemen, how we doing?
Well, we missed you, man. We were worried about you. You doing all right, buddy?
Yeah, I'm doing good, man. I appreciate the you guys, you know, thinking about me.
Well, here's the thing, Alan. We're kind of cut from the same cloth. I know you're a guy that likes to work hard and play hard, and sometimes when we play hard, things happen, and you know, and you have to disappear for a while. So you know,
I woke up one morning this week, and my right eye was like swollen, basically shut.
Wow.
And I was like, okay. I guess we're just blind now. So this is stuff we're gonna have to deal with.
Yeah.
And So, anyways, it was honestly a lot of stress, like just from like overwork and things like that. So,
oh yeah,
we're all good now. Yeah, we got some medicine in us. We're good to go. We're back in the game.
Well, Alan, I want to start off with this Russell Wilson thing. What do you make of this? Because you know he says, well, I'm not, or his agent said he's not asking to be traded, but if he were to ask, and he has a no trade clause, these are the four teams he'd like to go to. I mean. Are we looking at a divorce there between Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks, you think? Or do you think this will blow over?
Think about it like this. This is basically saying, like, telling your significant other, like, no. Like, I don't want to get divorced. But if I did, these are probably the four people that I want. Right.
Exactly.
Like, I mean, you know, think about the level that we're at where we're even having this conversation. So it's something. Where there's smoke, there's fire. Now, does it actually happen? Nah, probably not. Like, if I were betting on it, I would say no. But, honestly, and I mean this, John Robinson and the Titans, when they made that move for Ryan Tannehill, and it worked, it literally set off something in the NFL. Look at all the quarterback moves that have happened and all the conversations of quarterback moves that have happened since that, right? So it goes to show that in the NFL, supply is actually – larger than the demand of quarterbacks, and teams are not afraid now to be aggressive in moving him. I would be very, very interested to see what the corresponding move would be, because you can't just trade Russell Wilson, you know, and then start Paxton Lynch or whoever, you know, is behind him. So they got to do some work there. But Pete Carroll and John Schneider are somewhat aggressive. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if they made the move, but I'm not betting on it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and Deshaun Watson in game looks like that ended when they had the conversation with him with David Culley, the new head coach, and he pretty much reiterated everything. What's the end game there? Where does is it Carolina? What's happening?
I mean, the Texans, Alan. I mean, the gun's to their head now. I didn't realize they don't have a first and second round draft pick. I've done a 180 on this. You know, they got to see what they can get for him now. And you can fleece a team like the New York Jets that hasn't had a franchise quarterback since Joe Namath, for crying out loud.
Yeah, no, you're right. And the Texans find themselves – here's the most brutal situation. They obviously control the power because if they want to trade him or not trade him, you know, it's ultimately their call. But you've got a new head coach. You've got a new front office. You've got basically a new everything. And the reason that everyone is there new – it's because how toxic that locker room got. So you can't start off with your best and most prolific face of the franchise player, you know, being a cancer to the team. And I mean, not him personally, but just, hey, our best player hates it here. Like that permeates through. Yeah. Right. So you have to trade the guy. Carolina makes sense. There's a lot of teams that make sense like that. He's so good that he's one of those players that every team takes a look. Like you kind of review what you have. You know, and you think, okay, well, you know, maybe this is something that we need to get into, you know, like a Denver Broncos, you know, with even getting rid of like, you know, a young Drew Lock and going to that route. But you're right. In terms of the draft picks, look at the Jets, you know, look at the Dolphins. I know that obviously they're, you know, young there with Tua Tagovailoa, but they've got draft picks to spend. I mean, the Jets make sense. The Panthers make sense. But again, look at the New Orleans Saints. I mean, if they're a team that's being talked about heavily, you know, for Russell Wilson, like, teams can move mountains for a guy like that. Mm. But let me also say this real quick.
Yeah.
We can walk and chew gum at the same time. The Texan situation obviously is terrible. Also, I feel awful for this new head coach. He is walking into a horrific, horrific place to be in his first role as being a head coach, which is a guy who's probably worked for 30 years for this moment. And it is just a complete disaster. Nothing of what he has done. Like, I really do feel bad for him.
Well, and he's a great guy, too. He played you know, quarterback at Vandy. He's from Sparta.
Right.
So, and I've known David, you know, a long time, just a class act. And quite frankly, the hire sort of came out of left field.
It really did, little bit. But I thought for sure they were going to hire Bieniemy, and, you know, he's still without a head coaching job. Alan Bell is our guest. CBS Sportsline covers the NFL. All right, so the Titans clear some cap space yesterday, Alan. They get rid of they say goodbye to Adam Humphries. We'll see what happens with Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith. Should I read into it? They're setting up to bring in J.J. Watt, huh? What do you say?
I think they're going to certainly be in the conversation. The interesting part of the Titans is this: is even though, you know, when you go to Las Vegas, right, and you're shooting craps or playing blackjack or whatever, like. Not blackjack's not a good one, just shooting craps. Like, the roll of a dice, you know, it, the first roll doesn't correlate to the next one. It could be anything. However, like, when you look at this J.J. Watt situation, if you go out and get him and say he gets hurt week two, he's on IR.
Right.
What after you did last year with Vic Beasley and Jadeveon Clowney, like, if it kind of happens that situation again and this time you paid $15 million for him, you know, for J.J.?
Mm-hmm.
It's tough. Like, that's tough. So, you know, I think it's all going to be dependent on price. If they could get him for a heavily incentive-laden contract, I just don't know. I don't know how aggressive that they get, even though it's an absolute position of need. I'm fascinated by it. The Adam Humphries move makes sense. I didn't realize that the guy's only 27.
That's what I said.
45 years old.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. It feels like he's so old, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. You know, that move makes sense, and, you know, the fact that you can save some money doing it. I'm interested to see what they do with Isaiah Wilson. If they make a decision on, you know, trying to trade him, get rid of him soon, I don't know what's going to go on with that.
Oh, I already tell you. I've told people last hour they're going to trade him. They're going to get a 1987 Ford F-150.
No, you said 1986 in the first
1986.
Hour.
1986. One of those in that 86 Ford F-150 is what they're going to get for him.
I mean, that brings up a good question, Alan. Can Isaiah Wilson be saved? I mean, he's still young, but it sounds like he's got a lot going on between his ears before that can happen.
Yeah, you know, once I started seeing these tweets come out of him playing the victim card, like, buddy, the team did everything that they could to help you last year, everything that they could. And let me say this. One, you paid him back with when you were on your suspension by going to Miami and putting pictures of money, you know, on an Instagram post. Like, that didn't help the situation. And two, even before you had these issues, you weren't good enough to play anyway. So, that's the part that scares me, like, I hate it for, you know, the position that Robinson and Mike Vrabel are in, because you've got money tied in and a first round pick tied into a guy that's just legitimately lost it. But I think you just have to cut bait, because it's one of those things to where this could drag on and it could bring down everybody. But just the part that hurts is you spent a lot of draft capital on the guy, and you kind of needed that position too, you know?
Yep.
It's up to be.
Alan Bell is our guest. CBS Sportsline covers the NFL. All right, Corey Davis, Jonnu Smith, both, none, one or the other?
Tell him what I said is going to happen last hour? Now with this Adam Humphries, they're going to go after Corey Davis to a certain point, but wherever he goes, he's not going as a number one, most likely, right? Jonnu Smith, his upside is, we've sort of almost seen the ceiling for Corey Davis. There may be some more there, but we're close. Jonnu Smith's ceiling, and I think he's going to sign on the open market on potential as much as, you know, but just because he fits. He and that's such a premium position now in these offenses. They're gonna put the franchise tag on him, I think, and roll with that and try to sign Corey Davis at a good value. But I think then in Firkser, I think you've got a slot receiver. That's what he played most of the season anyway.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, Firkser could be the role that Adam Humphries was. Like, just go find the sticks and catch a first down. Like, you don't have to be, you know, if you break it, great, you know, but we're not, you know, we're not expecting you to be A.J. Brown. you know, and break off 80 yarders. I'm with you on all of that. I think that, you know, Corey Davis comes down to a price, and, you know, if somebody's willing to pay more, then you just got to let him go do it, you know, because you just, you know, you went through it last year, you know, in terms of, you know, the fifth-year option. So, you know, again, just kind of stick to your strategy, you know, of a number with him. With Jonnu, I agree with you. That move makes a lot of sense. And I'll say this. Jonnu would be a guy that if he hit the open market and he were, you know, actively going on, you know, trips to other teams, you know, just so they get a look at him. The guy is just a physical freak.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? Like, yeah, like he looks the part to where
he's built like an action. He's built like an action figure.
Yeah, literally. I mean, he is, right? And it's like a lot of teams that probably haven't seen him up close and personal. You know, like if he went to like Baltimore on like a, you know, just a trip mm-hmm. to meet the coaches or whatever, do a little workout, like they would look at him and say, oh, my God, like sign this guy immediately. So I think that it makes sense. You know, you just go ahead and just knock that part out and keep him here. But, you know, I mean, you know, after Humphreys, I mean, you know, the team, you know, not that they're, you know, dying at the wide receiver position, but it's certainly something now, you know. So they got some decisions to make. But the good thing is this, they got a little money to spend, and they've got options. And, you know, that options are always a good thing.
Well, I thought John Robinson was pretty telltale last week when he said, listen, I told the same things to Jonnu and Corey that I did to Jack Conklin a year ago. We love you. We want to keep you. But, you know, you're going to have suitors. And if yep. you know, you get a deal that, you know, is too rich for our blood, hey, you know, vaya con Dios, man. Good luck. And it sounds yep. like they're yep. willing to do that with these two as well.
Yeah, and it makes sense. It makes absolute sense. And, you know, what I love about that is that, you know, John Robinson's an honest guy. Like, he's going to tell you straight up how he feels, how the team feels. And he's not putting it in a negative way, especially for guys that are dealing with their first time ever, you know, in a free agency type position. But saying, hey, look, here's where we are at. You know, we love you. We want you here. But, you know, we're not going to stand in your way. If there's more money out there, we might not be able to afford it. But the best of luck. Make your own decision. But, no, yeah, we'd love to have you here.
The other side of the ball, Vaccaro, Adoree Jackson, you know, Malcolm Butler. Maybe it's time for Amani Hooker. I would expect Vaccaro to be cut. You drafted Hooker for that, so it's time.
Yeah.
And it's going to be interesting to see Adoree Jackson. I don't know if he can stay healthy long enough. And I, of all of them, would hate to see Malcolm Butler. In my mind, he was the best back there last year.
Yeah, see, the Malcolm Butler is honestly the most interesting decision for me because of what they do. Now, he's making a little bit of money, but he's a pretty heck of a good player. And, you know, with Adoree Jackson, I mean, the team made that decision long-term last year. Like, once you let Logan Ryan walk and you decided, hey, we're leveraging ourselves on Adoree, you know, before the injury, you know, became more than, like, we kind of all thought that it would be. So they're not doing anything there. Adoree's going to be here. You know, because once you kind of make that decision, and especially, you know, if you're sticking with Butler, you know, you're going to say, all right, Hooker's got to play. Like, we got to have him in that position. So, yeah, I think that's probably how that thing works out. The Butler one, again, like, that's the one that I find the most intriguing because I could see the team going either way. Kind of, you know, surprisingly, but I think that he's here next year.
Hey, Alan, as we wrap up here, you know, every year we kind of see a team go from worst to first in the league, and vice versa for that matter. Is there a team you have in mind that could make that worst to first leap in 2021?
Yeah, you know, I think the Cincinnati Bengals are going to be a lot better than people think. Yeah. Now, the tough part for them is that they're in a brutal division, right? The Browns are going to be good.
Yep.
The Steelers are the Steelers.
Yep.
And the Baltimore Ravens are going to be the Baltimore Ravens. So the Bengals could have a heck of a year and still find themselves in fourth place, right, just
yep.
because the team's out there. But I think that they're going to be really good. I like what they're doing. You know, the New York Giants, I'm excited to see where this
buddy,
team goes.
Right.
Oh, yeah. There's no need to suck up. There's no need to suck up.
Shut up, Greg. Let Alan Bell speak, please.
No, I'm excited. Like, I'll be honest. You know, I liked the Joe Judge hire. I wasn't, you know, negative or, you know, super positive either way. But there's something about him, and there's something about this team. Like, I truly think that they believe. They've got some work to do, obviously. They've got to get the offensive line, but you're going to get Saquon Barkley back, get a couple weapons out there for Daniel Jones. And I think this team, like, they truly do believe in what they're doing. So I think that, you know, if they, you know, hit on some right moves in free agency, in the draft, et cetera, just get a little bit better, and they continue that belief of what they had last year, that could be a really good team in a division that is absolutely winnable.
Boy, I love having Alan Bell on this show, don't you, Greg?
It was just one question too many. Yeah. Right? That's what it was.
Don't listen to him.
Hey, Alan, appreciate it. Follow Alan Bell. Alan Bell, 24/7. Read him on CBS Sportsline and all the other places. But a great follow on Twitter. He'll also give you some advice from time to time
A little guidance
on how to spend and hopefully win your money.
That's right.
Hey, thanks, Alan. Appreciate you.
Feel better, buddy. Thanks for coming on, man.
All right, Alan.
Appreciate y'all. Y'all have a good weekend.
All right.